We'll now go to Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. Verses 1 through 12 for a little bit of background and context. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now those first 12 verses, brethren, speak of the resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb, the visit of the women to the tomb. They had come to anoint the body of Jesus very early in the morning, and they were met by the empty tomb. The stone was rolled away, and there were two men, two angels there, that said, Don't be looking for the living among the dead. He's not here. And they said, Remember what he said. It wasn't a question. They didn't say, Do you remember what he said? They said, Remember what Jesus said to you. And the word of God in verse 8 says, And they remembered. There's a good sermon in that, a lot of teaching in that. And so the women left, and they came back, and they told the 11, these apostles, there are 11 now instead of 12, what's happened to Judas. He's dead. He's gone out and hung himself. He's committed suicide for betraying innocent blood, Christ Jesus. And so the women come and tell the 11, and Peter runs to the tomb. Actually, Peter and John, it's not recorded here that John does, but John's gospel, I believe, records that. They run to the tomb and they find it empty. So there's the situation. There's the context. And now, starting with verse 13, we have another event that occurred on that day. Two of the disciples, these wouldn't be the apostles, two of the apostles, but two of the disciples, they go on a journey. They leave Jerusalem and they start for Emmaus. And let's look and see what happens on their journey. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. My research indicates that's about 7.5 miles. And they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which were come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, Today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Brethren, if I correctly read that, that's Luke 24, 1 through 35. It records events that happened on the day of the resurrection of Jesus, the third day. I pray that God would open his word to us, to you and to me, and that I'd be able to expound upon it. Jesus was the master teacher, and it says here that he expounded the scriptures to these two disciples. I certainly can't do it like Jesus did. But if I have a calling, and if God will bless me, I can expound upon it to you this morning and to myself. And you and I can learn and we can grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And that's my prayer. And I'm going to stop now and pray to that effect. And I hope you'll pray along with me that God would open his word to you and to me. And that as a result, God would be glorified. That we would grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And that we'd be strengthened by his word and strengthened for service. Let's pray to that end now. Father in heaven, thank you for a beautiful day that you've made. Thank you for the privilege to be in the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we've already heard about this morning. Father, thank you for your word that you preserved to us for our reading, our study, and for our instruction and for our blessing. Father, open our hearts, please. Open your word to us. May it penetrate our hearts. May we understand it by the Spirit of the living God. Father, teach me and teach us all here. Teach me words to say and the right thoughts. And teach us all, Lord, more about yourself. May we grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior and grow in grace. Help me to say the right words and say them the right way. And may your Spirit, Lord, come and teach us and guide us. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, the name above every name, we pray. Amen. Brethren, I want to start this morning with verse 13. We read 1 through 12 as a little bit of background because those events, you see, are mentioned. The disciples, as they walked along, they began to tell Jesus what had happened, what they had heard and seen that morning. And so we read that for background. I'm just going to begin now in verse 13, and I want to try to expound upon each of these verses just a little bit. A title for this lesson could be The Road to Emmaus, because that's the road that these two disciples were traveling from Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus. Another title I thought of yesterday when I was writing out my notes was The Test. You know, Jesus tested these two disciples right here on that road to Emmaus. This morning we had a Bible study lesson about the test. The test. The lessons for this quarter involve testing. And these two disciples, brethren, were tested by Jesus. And we get tested by Jesus. When I was in school, I took tests, and so did you. And typically, I dreaded tests. Why? Because I typically didn't study the way I should. I didn't prepare for them, and I dreaded them. I saw a bumper sticker one time about prayer in school, and it said, as long as there are tests, there will be prayer in school. And I would pray often, Lord, have mercy. I have not studied like I should have, and I'll try to do better. I probably said that a lot of times. Sometimes I prepared. If it was something I liked and was motivated about, I kind of looked forward to the test. I anticipated it somewhat, thinking I'm going to do pretty good, I thought. Other times, though, it seems like most of the time, I had done the bare minimum. I had put off studying until the last instant, the night before, and then I would cram, and I'd come in and try to learn it just long enough to get it on the paper. Not a good way to do. And some tests like that I took, I didn't do very well on. These disciples here, brethren, were tested of Jesus, and he calls them foolish. I don't think they did too well. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, isn't it? And is profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So, brethren, may we learn from this, and therefore, when we're tested, maybe we'll be better prepared. May this Scripture inspire us to prepare better. Let's look at these two disciples now. It says in verse 13, Behold, that means get this, understand this. Behold, two of them went the same day, that's the first day of the week, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, 7.5 miles roughly. We are told the name of one of these disciples. It's Cleopas. It's stated in the text. We're not told who the other disciple was. If it were important for us to know that, God would have told us. But it's important to know that two of them were believers on Jesus. And this is the first day of the week. It's the day of the empty tomb. And they're going to Emmaus. We're not told why. We're just told where. And they talked together, verse 14, of all these things which had happened. Get that, brethren, that term, these things. They're talking about these things that had happened. What things? Jesus would ask them in a minute, what things are you talking about? They would say, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard what's just happened? And Jesus said, what things? They talked about these things. Possibly, brethren, they talked about the betrayal of Jesus, the arrest of Jesus, the denial of Jesus, the forsaking of the apostles of Jesus, the trial of Jesus before the high priest, his appearing before Pilate, his torture by Pilate, his mocking by the Roman soldiers. Maybe they talked about those things. Maybe they were talking about the crucifixion, how he had been turned over to the Romans and was nailed to a cross and that he died. And maybe they talked about how Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took him down, took his body down from the cross, wrapped it in clean linen, fine linen, and placed it in a tomb. And I'm pretty sure they were talking about the empty tomb because the women had come and told them that morning about what had happened and about that vision of angels. And they were talking about Simon Peter running to the tomb and coming back and saying, yep, it's empty. He's not there. He's gone. As they talked together of all these things which had happened, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, they're trying to figure it out, brethren. They're reasoning between one another. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. How about that? They're walking along, just these two, they're walking along, and Jesus, the risen Savior, joins them. Oh, there's a lot of lessons in that, brethren. I want to comment on that just a little bit toward the end. Jesus He draws near and he goes with them. One of the Bible commentaries I was looking at says that, and I think I knew this and assumed it, that most people walked in those days. A lot of foot traffic. These two men were walking along, and it's probably not uncommon for others to join you as you walk. Maybe they catch up with you, or maybe you catch up with them as you're walking and you begin talking. And you commune as you walk along these 7.5 miles. But when Jesus joined them, brethren, verse 16 says, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. The test that's about to be given, that Jesus doesn't give them the answers right now. I used to like the open book test, you know. I like that because I could find the answer. But brethren, here's a test coming up, and the answers are not given at this moment. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Brethren, Jesus made it so that they did not recognize him. But he's about to ask them some questions about what's going on. And can you see it coming that he knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows. But brethren, he wants to hear it from them. Tell me what's happened. Tell me the effect of this. Tell me the significance of it. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, listen to this, brethren, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another, one to another, as ye walk and are sad? These two men were sad, brethren. I wasn't here last Sunday, but I imagine someone preached to you about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the joy that's inherent in that and the blessing of it and what it means for us. But see these two disciples right here, brethren, they're sad. They're sad. We'll know why already, and we'll review it in a minute. But they're walking along, and Jesus says, what are the things you're talking about to one another? You're walking along, and you're so sad. Verse 18, Cleopas, it says, one of them whose name was Cleopas, he spoke up, and he says, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He says, men, don't you know what's happened in Jerusalem just in the last few days? He's talking to Jesus, the one who hung on the cross and died, but he doesn't know it. Jesus certainly knew what happened. He'd been mocked and ridiculed. He'd worn a crown of thorns. He'd been beaten. He'd been crucified, and he died. Certainly he knew. But he wants to hear from them. Cleopas says, don't you know the things that have happened there? And Jesus says then, look at verse 19, what things? Oh, what a question, brethren. What things, Jesus says. And then they begin to talk to him, and they say, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, they identify the main player here. They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Well, that's a pretty good description of him right there, brethren. It's not a full description, but that's a good one. They say to Jesus, he was a prophet. And Jesus, indeed, brethren, was a prophet. He spoke things about himself over and over. He spoke things about the future and future events. He was a prophet. He said, the Son of Man is going to be turned over to the Gentiles. And they're going to turn him over. They're going to crucify him. But he's going to rise again the third day. That's a prophet. He said that as a prophet. And the prophecy, brethren, has been fulfilled at this as he speaks here. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed. What were some of the deeds that Jesus did? Mighty deeds. He fed 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes. He fed 5,000 people with a little basket of fish and bread. He fed 4,000 later with some more fish and bread. He caused the blind to see. People that had been blind, a man that had been blind all of his life, born blind. Jesus gave him his sight. Lepers, the incurable disease of leprosy, Jesus healed. He raised people from the dead. He walked on water. He calmed storms. He said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm on that lake. Mighty indeed, and word. His words. Some men said about him one time, never man spake as this man. He was a master teacher. Mighty indeed, and word. Before God and the people. That is, God recognized it and the people recognized it. When Jesus was baptized, God spoke from heaven. The Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and then the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Mighty before God the Father at the Transfiguration, similarly, God the Father spake and said, "Listen to it." Before God and all the people who believed on him, typically the common people, he was mighty in their eyes. A prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And this is what happened. The chief priest, verse 20, and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. This prophet mighty in deed and word before God and people. Our people, the Jews, have condemned him to death. They said he was blasphemous, committed heresy. They condemned him to die, and they crucified him. The Romans have. He's dead. Verse 21, here's why they were sad, brethren. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And Jesus redeemed Israel, brethren. But in the mind of these men, they were looking for a different kind of redemption. They were looking for a Savior who would come and break the Roman yoke from off them and give them, return to them to the great status that Israel, they thought, should have. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. It's the third day, brethren. I like to try to preach about the road to Emmaus on the Sunday following Easter, because a little time passes and Easter may sort of dim a little bit in our minds and in our memory. Maybe. And I like to be reminded of what that Christ, brethren, is still risen from the dead, and he's still working, and he appears to these two, unbeknownst to them who he was, he appears to them. And this disciple says, it's the third day since this happened. And certain women of our company, women who believe, or fellow believers of ours, they made us astonished, verse 22, astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And that's why I read verses 1 through 12. He begins to tell Jesus now what he's found out this morning. He says, some of the women of our company, who are also believers, they went to the sepulcher early this morning. Verse 23, they found not the body. Amen. They found it not. The tomb was empty. I've heard it said that the stone was rolled away, not so Jesus could get out, but so that others could look in and see that he was gone. The tomb was empty. That borrowed tomb, he didn't need it very long, did he? When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels. They saw angels. And the angels said that he was alive. That's the message. And we read that. We read that. He is not here, but is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Remember what he said to you? He said, they're going to take me, and they're going to condemn me to death, and they're going to crucify me. But I'll rise again the third day. Remember that. Remember that, ladies. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, and which said he was alive. And then he goes on to tell them, and we read this, certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. That's Peter and John. They ran to the sepulchre. But him they saw not, indeed. Why? Because he's alive. He doesn't belong in or near a tomb. He's alive. Brethren, now this stranger to these two men who's walking along with them, they don't know him. He says to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This man who's teaching them, who's been listening to their unbelief and their dismay and observing their sad state, he says, oh, you're so foolish. You're slow of heart to believe what the prophets have spoken. Brethren, the prophets spoke, the prophets of old spoke and spoke and spoke. And the Jews had the prophets. They had it. And that those prophets spoke of the coming of the Just One and the Messiah. And that he's coming. And Jesus spoke of it when he came. He said he was in Nazareth on one occasion, and on the synagogue, I believe the Sabbath day, and he read the book from the prophecy of Isaiah, and he closed it, and it says every eye was on him. And he said, this prophecy is fulfilled, and you've heard it right here in your hearing. It's fulfilled. Yet, these two disciples are all sad because he's dead. He was dead. The tomb's empty, and we don't know what's happened to him. And we thought he was going to free us up from the Romans. And we're sad. And Jesus says, you're foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. They had the prophets. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, look at what Jesus does now. They still don't know it's him. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus was talking about himself to the strangers, to the disciples. The stranger is talking about Jesus. And they're hearing that. Probably a lot of the prophecies that they've heard and read since they were children. He's reminding them of them. Doesn't it say that this is going to happen? Isaiah 53. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Maybe he quoted from Isaiah 53. Maybe he quoted from way back in the book of Moses, where it says, after the fall occurred, where God said, I will put enmity between the seed of the woman, that's Jesus, and your seed, Satan. You're going to bruise his heel. Yes, you will. But he's going to crush your head. Maybe he taught him that. Moses said, God's going to raise up a prophet like me. You listen to him. You hear him. I don't know. We're not told what. We're just told that he spoke to them beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, as he walks along, brethren, he's talking. I don't know what point on the journey he joined them, but they arrive at Emmaus. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, verse 28. And he made as though he would have gone further. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says, I'm not stopping here. I'm going on further. I'm going on down the road. My journey doesn't end here. And what did they say? They constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. They didn't know it was Jesus, brethren, but they liked what they were hearing. And there was something about this man. They said, please don't go further. Stay with us. Stay with us and commune with us and talk to us and tell us more. Verse 28, and he went in to tarry with them. He says, okay, all right, I'll go. Maybe they arrived at an inn. Maybe it was the home of one of these disciples. We're not told. But it was probably, it was mealtime. They had arrived at their destination, the disciples. And they said, come in and have supper with us. That's a thing that we used to do in bygone days. Now we say, come go to the barbecue restaurant with us. We're going for barbecue, or we're going to the fish place. But we say, go with us anyway, don't we? When I was a boy, people would be at our house for various reasons, and they would arrive there, and my daddy would say, come on in and eat with us. Come on in and have supper with us. Y'all probably remember that. It's not that common now, but we do like to share meals, and we like to spend time with one another and commune with one another. And he went in to tarry with them. Verse 30, and it came to pass, get this, brethren, as he sat at meat with them, he sits down at the table with them, and Jesus, brethren, they don't know it's him. They still don't know it's him. He takes bread, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he serves it to them. And their eyes were opened. And all of a sudden, they know this Jesus. They realize this is Jesus right here with us. This is him. He just broke this bread. He gave it to us. And he made eye contact with them when he handed it to them. I don't know. I don't know how it went. But their eyes were open and they said, it's him. It's him. I wonder how Cleopas felt at that moment. I think he had kind of mixed emotions. He said, I had shown my ignorance here. I have really opened my mouth here and shown how ignorant I am and how unbelieving I am. But on the other hand, he's so happy to see Jesus and hear that teaching and know that he's alive. He's got mixed emotions probably. I wondered about this when I'm thinking about when I read this verse 30, where it says he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. You know, that's what he did beside the Sea of Galilee when he took those loaves and fishes. He blessed it. He gave thanks for it and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the apostles. And then the apostles passed it out to those companies of people. Jesus has said, have them sit down on the grass. Have them sit down. And he ended up with more than he started with. I love that in those miracles. They took up and they had like 12 baskets on one occasion, other baskets on another. And he had one to start with. Can't outdo Jesus, brethren. What a man mighty in deeds, indeed and in word. Their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. He didn't vanish into the vapor, brethren. He just got up and excused himself, and maybe there were other people in there, and he was lost in the crowd, and he's gone. His goal is accomplished for this occasion right here, so he doesn't hang around. He's got other work to do. In fact, he's going to appear shortly back in Jerusalem with these and the others, if you read on. But he departs out of their sight. Look at verse 32, brethren. And they said one to another, these two brothers, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Brethren, Jesus opened the scriptures to these brethren. He said, I don't know what scriptures, I don't know which prophecies, but we know that it was prophecies of the Messiah. And Jesus has fulfilled them now. They've all been fulfilled. And he speaks of them to them, and they say, man, when he was telling me that, something was going on with my heart. Something was going on with that when he opened the scriptures to us. You see, brethren, how blessed you are if God opens the scriptures to you. He opens them to me when I study the scriptures, when I search the scriptures. He says they testify of me. And when I crucify the flesh and I make myself sit down and open the Word of God and prayerfully read it, he opens the scriptures to me. And I'm thankful that he does. I don't have a lot of understanding, but I think I have a little. And what little he gives me, it's just a blessing to my heart. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? These brothers, brethren, they've been taught. They didn't pass that initial test, but they got it now. They got the lesson. They got it down. And they rose up the same hour and they returned to Jerusalem. They went back in the nighttime. They went back that 7.5 miles. Why? You know what I probably would have done? I said, it's late. It's late. I'm going to spend the night here. I'll take care of that tomorrow. I'll talk about it tomorrow. Brethren, these two brothers, they got on the road back to Jerusalem. It was the road to Jerusalem then. And they walked it. And they arrived in Jerusalem. They returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 gathered together. They went to where the apostles were. They knew where they were. I think they'd been with them earlier. And they went there. And them that were with him, that's other disciples, were among that group. And these, now it's a little tricky interpreting this. I have always read this, that the folks who were saying in verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed, I took that to be the two disciples that they had seen the Lord, and they say, he's risen indeed. We've laid eyes on him. We walked with him. We had a meal with him. But in reading this week and studying this, those smarter than me say their position is that they come back to the 11, and the 11 say to these brothers, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. That's Simon Peter. I thought for a while the other disciple on the road was Simon. It was Cleopas and somebody named Simon. The Bible scholars, that may be right, but the Bible scholars say that Jesus appeared to Simon Peter at or about this same time. And they say they say to these disciples who have come back from Emmaus, the Lord is risen indeed and have appeared to Simon. And then, verse 35, they, the two disciples who went to Emmaus and back, they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. They told brethren what had happened to them. They said, we were walking along and this guy came up. We didn't know who he was. But we were down in the mouth. We were complaining. We were feeling sorry for ourselves. We were mystified. We were puzzled. And he said, what was wrong with y'all? And we told him. We told him what's happened. And then he started preaching Jesus to us. And he made it all make sense. He talked to us about the prophets and the things that happened in Jerusalem in the last 3 days. They're fulfilled. And then we just said, constrained him. Brethren, if I constrain you to do something, I'm not taking no for an answer. If I say to you, if I can get you by the arm, I say, come out here and get in my car. We go into the Okie Pinocchio. Somebody went to the Okie Pinocchio last week. Come on, go with me. I'm paying your way. Get in. Come on, let's go. Maybe you'll go. I'll constrain you. Brethren, they constrained this stranger. Come in and eat with us. We want to spend more time with you. We want to hear more. It's a blessing to us. They constrained him. They said, we constrained this fellow and went to have the meal. He said a blessing. He said a prayer and he broke bread. And all of a sudden, we realized this is the risen Lord. On the road to Emmaus, this is him. So they're happy now. They're no longer sad. They're happy. I thought about this morning driving up. I thought about you all. I wasn't here last Sunday with you, but I imagine that the preacher said to you, you have every reason to be happy because the tomb is empty. You have every reason to rejoice and be glad because we serve a risen Savior. He saved you from your sins. And so, brethren, a week has passed. And my nature is for that happiness to sort of subside a little and get back into my routine, my little comfort zone, my little daily circle that I go around in. But, brethren, when I read about the road to Emmaus, I see joy bursting forth again. I see sad disciples. And I see Jesus coming to them on the road to Emmaus. And then I see happy and motivated. So happy and so motivated that they walked 7.5 miles in the dark back to Jerusalem just to tell what had happened to them and what they had learned. Now, here's the closing. Here's the closing, brethren. I drove a road up here today to be with y'all. I didn't mind it one bit. But I was on a road for a couple of hours this morning. It's nothing. It's nothing to me. I've got a comfortable car. It's nothing. I get to see God's creation. I don't mind it one bit. In fact, it's a treat to me. I'm on that road, and it brought me here. And when I leave here, I'm going to take a road to another place, back home, or maybe a detour. I don't know. You're going to get on the road, too. The life, and that's a literal road. It's a paved road or a dirt road or an interstate, whatever it is. It's a road we travel. But the road of life, brethren, we travel it every day. We travel that road. And brethren, I can't help but think that Jesus comes to me and to you on that road. He comes to us. This is a test. Have you ever been engrossed in something on the TV? It used to be on TV. I don't know if it's like this now, but I know it is on the radio. I'm listening to the radio, and all of a sudden this very unpleasant squeaking starts, and it sounds like a dial-up internet used to the racket, and it's just scraping. It's like fingernails on the chalkboard in the old days. It gets your attention. It's unpleasant, and somebody says, "This is a test." You know what I'm talking about? Brethren, it comes when I'm least expecting it. I'm engrossed in whatever I'm listening to on the radio. And here comes the test. Brethren, that's the way I get sometimes. I think maybe you get with life. You have your road you're traveling. Don't mess with me. Don't pull out in front of me. Don't cut me off. Don't detour me. I'm on my road. I know what I'm doing. But then Jesus comes, brethren. He comes when it's least expected. And he says, What are you talking about here? What are you doing? Where are you going? That's what he asked these guys. And they told him all the troubles that they had, all of it, all the earthly troubles they had. And he begins to talk to them about himself and about the prophecies of his coming and his fulfillment of them, Jesus' fulfillment of them. And then he identifies himself. It's me. Brethren, that's the point of this. There's the history here. We learned about what happened and what day it happened and who it was here that was involved. That's the history, and I love the history of it. But brethren, the spiritual aspect of it is this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's recorded for by God's inspiration. It's recorded for us for our learning, for doctrine, the doctrines of the prophecies of Jesus Christ and how he fulfilled them, for correction. For correction, for getting us to pay attention to the road we're on. Doctrine, correction, reproof, to instruct us in the right way to go. Brethren, you're on a road this morning. Just as sure as you're born, you're on a road this morning, and so am I. Is it the road to nowhere, or is it the road that leads to life? The straight and narrow road, the highway that leads to fullness of life. I hope Jesus, by the Spirit of God, has come in the last few minutes and asked you, and you've heard him say, where are you going? What are you up to here on this road? Where's this road leading you to? Is it the broad way or is it the narrow way? What are you thinking about today? What are you talking about today? And I hope that your heart burns. I hope that if it's the broad way, I hope you get heartburn. Because that's what you need to have. That's what I need to have. If it's the narrow way, I hope that it burns for a more zealous service of God. I hope so. So examine yourself. Know that Jesus comes to judge. He comes to test us. And we'll be tested. And I hope you pass. If you're unprepared right now, it's not too late. You and I can get prepared. We can study the Word of God. We can read it prayerfully. We can crucify the flesh. We can draw nigh to God. And he'll draw nigh to us. And then when the test comes, when it's test day, we won't dread it so much. We'll look forward to anticipation. We'll hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful student, servant. You've done good. I pray that God will bless you and me to pass the test that we'll face on the road that we travel. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the lessons in it. May I have presented them correctly according to your word and by the direction of the Holy Spirit. Father, may we prepare for the test that we face on the road to life, the road of life. May we go the right way. May we study to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Come, Lord Jesus, and walk with us and guide us and bless us. We praise you that we serve a risen Savior. In your name we pray, the name above every name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn now, brethren. If Jesus is real to you, you serve a risen Savior, you want to serve him with the people here at this body, you have the opportunity now while we stand and sing this closing hymn. Come and tell me. And I'll ask you a couple of questions, and then you'll be a part of the body of Christ. God bless you to do that, if the Lord's leading you. Brother, 345.